Jesus. We thank God for today. I don't know which day was it we came into September. Now we are in the middle of September. And God has been gracious to us. And before you know it, we would have come to the end of the year. This evening, I will be speaking on grace. And I pray that the grace of God will envelope you. It will envelope this congregation. The grace of God will be available for us as we talk this evening in the name of Jesus. Please, if you have your Bible with you, you know this is Bible study. We will be using our Bibles. So please get ready. I'm going to get one or two people or three who will help us to read. I want us to read out the Bible passages so that we'll be able to follow. Do we all have the handouts? I want to know if you have. If you don't have, please lift up your hand. Those who do not, ushers, please attend to us. Sorry. Last weekend, we started talking about exploits, grace for exploits. And my husband spoke on exploits. And he gave us descriptions of exploits. And the one that actually stuck to my own head is anything that demonstrates the power of God and results to conviction of sin and repentance, winning souls for Christ through prayer, praise, miracles, testimonies, our lifestyle, our businesses, and in our neighborhood. That I can define as exploit. But this evening we are talking about grace. What is grace? I have some definitions. I thought they will help me to project some of it so that you can quickly follow. It says, grace is the unmerited favor of God. I know when they ask you, that's what you will say. The unmerited favor of God towards man. That's Baker's Evangelical Dictionary. And then it is the unmerited favor made known through Jesus Christ and expressed in the redemption and full forgiveness of sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. That is in Titus 2 verses 11 and 12. We will soon need to read that verse of scripture. And then finally, I put an asterisk on that. I said, grace is divine endowment that enables an ordinary man to do extraordinary things without stress. An ordinary man. When an ordinary man begins to manifest, begin to do extraordinary things. You begin to excel above your colleagues. You begin to do great things, and people begin to ask you, how is it possible that you can do this? And many times for us Christians, we say the grace of God. Let me give you a very simple description of grace. Grace. We were opportune to go to climb the Twin Tower in Dubai. And it is, I can't remember how many, the tallest building in the world, according to people. And of course, we entered into the elevator, and all you need to do is press something, and then you are gone. Meanwhile, grace, that is grace for you. On the other hand, we are going to the same place, but that other person had to begin to climb stairs, climbing from one. By the time he gets one quarter way, what will happen to him? He will be very tired. Grace of God gives ease. Ba shei ronun sinu a ye mi o ba she o ba shei ronun sinu a ye wa baba kaye wa toro mini mini bi omi a ji pon aforuro pon kaye wa toro titi dale ka wa ma moshi laye wa. When you have grace, it's God makes things easy for you. So easy. And people will begin to wonder, how is this woman able to take care of this, a whole very, very big corporation? And you will say it is the grace of God. Let me give you a second example of grace, so you will never forget grace and why you need grace. You remember the disciples of Jesus. Remember when Jesus had finished preaching, and they were crossing from one side of Galilee, of the river to the other side. And then Jesus was in the boat with them. You all remember that? I think that is Luke chapter 4 thereabout. And there was a storm. There was a big storm. And the disciples, we are struggling. You know, the Bible said that, and the boat was filled with water. I was wondering, how can a boat be filled with water? And people are still there, and the boat did not sink. Because grace was inside that boat. They were, you know, it must have been raining. There must have been a storm. They must have been wet. And yet they were sweating. They were sweating. They were taking buckets and, you know, all the disciples, can you imagine? Maybe Peter will say, Barnabas, bring the buckets. Then he will say, John, carry it there. And there must have been a lot of confusion. And then they now say, where is Jesus? And then they went there and they woke Jesus. He was sleeping. The Bible said he was asleep on a pillow. Can you imagine? They were all stressed up, yet he was asleep. God will give you good sleep. God will give you rest. In every difficult area of your life, you will have rest in the name of Jesus. And then, I'm giving you so that you understand what grace is. Jesus just got up and he looked at them. Why are you people? Why are you of little faith? And he spoke to the wind. And he said, peace, be still. And the Bible said there was a great calm. I speak peace to every storm of your life. That is grace. Just one sentence. And there was great peace. You will have peace. In your home, you will enjoy peace. In your business, you will have peace. In the body of Christ, you will have peace. In the name of Jesus. Then I go on to grace nuggets. Grace and truth, sourced and freely given by Jesus Christ. That is John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. Can somebody please read that for me? It is Bible study, so it's going to be interactive, and we are going to read together. I want a pastor's voice. John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. Open your Bibles, please. And I want us to listen. John chapter 1, I'm going to open my Bible as well. John chapter 1. Please, let's make it fast. Can you please give somebody the microphone? John 1, verses 14 to 18. Let's be fast. We don't have a lot of time.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes. Please mark that in your Bible. Go on.
Okay. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is
the... Thank you, my sister. That's it. God bless you. Please, I want you to just note some verses. Verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Grace for grace. You see, when Jesus gives grace, grace is an endowment of God. When God decides to, he decides to favor a person, when he decides to honor a person, he will just say, what do I give this person? Then he will give grace. and then that person will begin to excel. In the family, he will be the richest. In the church, he will be the best. In his business, he will just be anywhere in the world. People will know him for having an excellent spirit. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Genesis 6, 8, the Bible said, and God gave grace to Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That's how the Bible puts it. Can you imagine a whole world? God decided that, who am I going to endow with my grace? He just looked and said, I think this family, this Noah family, this Noah that is always preaching to others and they won't hear him. In the whole world, God, the Bible said he found grace. May you find grace today. You will find grace. You need to pray and ask God, Lord, I must find grace with you. Only one person, one man, and that man was the only one. Because of Noah, his wife was saved. His two sons were saved. And the wife, just because of one man who found grace in the sight of the Lord. Noah found the first mention of grace. Now, let's look at John chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible said about Jesus, he was full of grace. He came. He was full of grace and truth. Let me tell you, Jesus is grace. He is an embodiment of grace. Everything about him is grace. I'm still going to talk about day. But you know what? One day, I was just reading, I think it was Philippians or something. And Paul was writing, at the end of his writing, and he said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And God stopped me. And he said, do you know what it means to have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? And God started talking to me. He said, it is the everything given to God that he has given to Jesus. Is what we are praying, because we've been careless, when we say the grace, we don't say it carelessly. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. When God started talking to me, he said, the mercy of God. When you are saying the grace, you are telling that person, the mercy of God be with you. The favor of God be with you. The goodness of God be with you. The kindness of God be with you. When you are telling that person, you are telling, when you say the grace of the Lord, you are saying that the healing power of God be with you. You are blessing that person. So whenever you say the grace, please don't ever say it carelessly again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I love about this verse 16, it says, and his fullness have we all received. All we have received is the grace of Jesus. And grace for grace. Grace for grace. That means when you have grace about something, you can still go back to God. I say, God, I need more grace. Grace, I need grace, Lord. You can grace. God is telling us that he is ready to give us as many times as we ask. So grace is something that we need to ask him all of the time. The disciples, the apostles, there is never a day they finish the meeting. Read your Bible that they will not say the grace. So the grace of God is something you must desire, you must ask for, and it is only when you ask for it. It doesn't just come like that. When you give your life to Jesus, yes, there is grace. But grace upon grace upon grace upon grace makes you a supernatural person. Now, I want to talk about the grace of God. Now, why is grace essential for exploits? Why is grace, why is it important for us to have grace? Without God, without God and the Holy Spirit, honestly, you can do nothing. Grace lifts you. Grace is a lifter. It lifts you up with ease beyond where human strength can take you, above all your colleagues. Grace is a lifter. I don't know, many of these, our young people may not understand. Grace. Let me say it in Yoruba. How many of you know what is called konkolorun? Konkolorun. How many people? The older ones we know. My father used to do that for us. When he wants to play with us, he will sit. He will sit low. He will bow low. Then he will tell you to climb his shoulders. When you climb his shoulders, you are taller than everybody. You can see everything. And then you begin to jump up and you are happy. You don't want to get down. That is what God does for you. When grace comes, he gives you concolon. He lifts you higher than your colleagues. And he makes it smooth. And he makes it easy. That is grace for you. Praise the Lord. Now, grace lifts you up. And that we can also read, if somebody can find Daniel chapter 11, 11:32. It talks about those who know their God. It is only those who know their God that can enjoy the grace of God. The Bible says, can somebody quickly read that? I think we all know it. We should all know it. By now you should know it. Those who know their God, they shall be strong and they will do what? So first of all, grace gives you strength. It gives you strength to do exploits. Can you imagine, you know, a weak body, even if God wants to do exploits through you, if your physical body is weak, God forbid, if somebody is paralyzed and you still want God to do it, you still need strength. That strength, spiritual strength must be there. Physical strength must be there for you to be able to do exploits. I'm quickly rushing because we have a lot to talk about. Now let me go. God gives grace to humble people. God does not give grace to people who are proud. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. It is only people, you have to come and ask God in humility. You cannot say, hey, you know, I will still get there. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 or so. Even our salvation came by grace. It is not of us that anyone should boast. Nobody can say, it's because I am holy. It's because I did not defy myself. Even God has been watching me when I was a baby. I did not steal. I did not do it. That is why I am saved. No. Salvation is by grace. Jesus paid for it. And he paid it all. It is by grace. So you cannot come with arrogance. And that is why many people find it difficult to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And they will just continue to fellowship with us. They will just, you know, just part of the multitude. But they don't even know who they have received as Lord and Jesus. It is not by power. Some people will say, with my level of education, I think I should be able to determine what I need to do in my life. With the amount of money I have, I've seen people talk boastfully, and you begin to imagine, say, who gave you this life? Even this life, this mouth you are even using to talk. It's not everybody that has a mouth that can talk, for crying out loud. It's not everybody that desires to be rich, will be rich. It is only by the grace of God. Grace. And then I said the acronym for grace. I don't know whether we are there. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid, you know, anytime the Bible talks about grace, the comparison it gives is the law. The laws of Moses. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do this. And unfortunately, if you sin in one law, you have sinned in all. So there is no way anybody can stand right in the presence of God. But grace made the way. Give the Lord a clap offering. Jesus, you are good. Grace is grace. His grace. Can you imagine? We didn't pay anything. Each time I think about it, I say, Jesus, you are too good. You too good, oh. Ah, you are too good. His grace bought it and paid it all for us. We don't have to pay anything. You don't have balawo, go to any babalawo. You don't have to bring up to white cloth. You don't have to give money to pastor. I don't know, has anybody ever given our pastor money? Or so I will pray for you. Or so that miracle will happen. Grace. I want to talk. I want to give some biblical examples of grace. I spoke about Noah. Now I'm going to talk about Rahab. Rahab is in Joshua chapter 2. If you read his Bible study, please, I will encourage you to go and read at home. When I was reading, I was also talking to God. I said, God, that grace that Jesus Christ brought, please, let me be the first partaker. You must pray to God and ask for it. The Bible said, Noah found. So it is like he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So you must find. Then in Titus chapter 2, I think verse 11 and 12, or 11 and 12, it says that when Jesus Christ came, please, let's read Titus chapter 2. Let's read Titus chapter 2 so that I'm not just talking scriptures to you. Please find Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Verses 11 and 12. Well, yes. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Yes, please. Please give her the microphone. Please start again. I want you to listen. The grace of God that has appeared to all men. Everybody has a chance to enter into the grace or not to enter. Please say it, my sister.
For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men.
Yes.
Training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world.
Thank you very much. The grace of God has appeared to how many people? How many? So, the grace of God has appeared to you. It has appeared to you. It has appeared to you. It has appeared to even Muslims. And when you receive that grace, it teaches us what? It teaches us what? Please, read your Bible now. To? Oh, my shame. Do you know that when the grace of God comes into the life, when somebody is truly born again, when the grace of God appears in the life of a person, you just find that person will say, well, I used to be a drunkard. When they put down 10 cartons of beer, at least 4 out of it, I will finish. I used to be a womanizer. I used to be an ungodly person. I used to be this and that. But when the grace of God finds you, it teaches you to live ungodly. It will just come. You will be wondering in your life, what did I do? Kini Moshe? Why is... Some of them will say, I used to be a chain smoker. But the following day they have received the grace of God, smoking will be smelling. People even smoke around them will be nauseating to them. That is what you call the grace of God. Rahab found the grace of God. Each time I think about that woman, do you know Rahab? We call her, in the Bible, I know when we talk about Rahab now, people will say Rahab the harlot. They still give her that name, Rahab. But she's no longer the harlot. No matter how bad, how difficult, or how much you have messed up your life, even a harlot, the grace of God appeared to her. In a whole country, Rahab was a prostitute. But she had the testimony. Did you all hear the testimony of Ife Dosumu? Is it last Sunday? The testimony of Ife Dosumu? The grace of God appeared unto Rahab. Rahab kept the spies. And after that, she followed them. In the whole country, because of Rahab, because the grace of God found Rahab, Rahab was able to save her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all that she has. That means that including even if she has a dog, that dog will be saved. Because a prostitute, somebody who used to be she was a well-known harlot. Her own harlotry was not conscious, small time. It was big time. Because the king sent for her. That means that the king knew the kind, she has a position in that country. They knew her. And she was able to walk into the grace of God. Do you know that Rahab the harlot? She's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and check Matthew chapter 1. Look at the genealogy of Jesus. You will find her name there. Go to the hallmark of faith. People that really matter. People that are, so no matter how far gone you are, Rahab the harlot was there. Let grace find you. May grace find you this evening. Ah, oh, may grace find you. Then I have Paul. Because of time, I have Mary, the mother of Jesus, so many people. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not the only virgin in the land of Israel at that time. And it is customary for all young people to be virgins. It's not like now. But grace found Mary. When the angel came, the angel said, "Thou highly favored of the Lord." A woman who has found favor, who has found grace, a young lady. It's not because she was the best, she was good, but she was a humble lady. That's one thing I can see. Grace found her. And then Paul, what about Paul? Hey, Brother Paul. Do you know Brother Paul? Second Corinthians chapter 12. If you read chapter 12 from beginning to the end. Brother Paul was like Boko Haram. He was like the leader of the Boko Haram. And he was killing people. He was Christians. His specialty was, you know, I read Josephus, he's an historian of Israel story and all that. The Bible said, they said that story, that historian said that Paul was part of the people that was ripping pregnant women open because they were Christians. Can you imagine? Okay. That kind of a person. How can God now say, he was there when they were killing Stephen. He was the one, he said, "Oh yeah, oh Lord, you bring your clothes." No. Stone his head. He's still breathing. Stone his face. That kind of a person. Until Stephen died. Paul was the one who was watching over it and giving commandments. Yet God, the grace of God. That grace of God found him. And God said, "I have chosen him. I have chosen him. And he will suffer much for me." No wonder he really, really suffered much for the Lord. The grace of God, which cannot be bought, which can only be merited. It's just by grace we can merit it. Then, I want to talk about contemporary examples of people who had grace and did exploits with their grace. My first example, I was so excited about Ifedo Sumu, a young lady. Her parents are not rich, oh. Her parents are not, they are not big people, oh. But she was a humble, respectful, hardworking, ready to do anything, anytime for anybody. And then God decided, grace found her. Grace decided to find her. She was able to minister to her French boss, who was a boss that could not even be worked with. Yet she ministered to him, and then he discovered that this one is different from all Nigerians. And then when the company was about to pack up, Grace found that the money they gave Ife was enough. She had said she wanted to do her master's abroad. It was able to pay for her tickets, for her fees, for her accommodation, all that she needed. Don't you see that this God we serve is a mighty God? For a child whose parents we are not able to have, they can't even bring $1,000 and give her. But Grace found her. Ife Dosumu, Grace found her. Then another example I want to give is about Mrs. Okafor and myself. One time, sometimes I think about 2 or 3 years back, Mrs. Okafor came to me and said, "Mommy, this is your mission field that you are always going. I want to go with you." And I said, "Oh yeah, now let's go." We went to, where did we go? Tanzania. We got to Tanzania. There was to be an outreach. And before the outreach, the two of us, we got together. We went to because nobody, when I travel, you don't know me, so it doesn't matter. We went to their mall, and we were going from shop to shop and speaking to them about Jesus. That was maybe 1 or 2 days before. The next or 2 or 3 days after, we had to be in Zanzibar. And when we got to Zanzibar, getting to Zanzibar was difficult. And when we got to Zanzibar eventually, we discovered that All of them, the men, we are, you know, straight faced. In fact, when you see men in Dubai, they are still better. But these ones, we are too straight. And then the women, the only thing you will see, you know, like we are doing now, cover your nose, cover your head, you will only see their eyes. And then you can't even determine whether this is a young person, because they are wearing black. The only thing, and the way they walk, they walk, cover their faces to the ground. And then that morning, we were the only two women who were there with them in the group. And that morning, I was to minister to everybody. And so I was praying. I said, God, this land looks difficult enough. And God said to me that, in this city, I have men. Acts of the Apostles chapter, I think 20, 18, thereabout. Acts of the Apostles chapter 18, thereabout. And as he said that to me, and I shared it with all the people, that God said he has men even in this city. And that we should speak out. We should speak out loud. We should not be afraid. I mean, that gave us boldness. So myself and then Mrs. Okafo said, "So, mommy, what are we going to do now?" I said, "We will go." God said we should speak out. We should not be silent. Don't be silent. That was what he said to us in the morning. Don't be silent. Speak out. I have men in... That means God has men that are already Christians, so that may probably be covering their head. And then we decided to be like them. When you are in Rome, you be like the Romans. So for us too, we decided to buy their gown. We wore their gown. We covered our heads. The way they were looking, we also looked like that. But we had a mission. So together we went. The first breakthrough God gave us was when we were going out at the reception. I saw one lady. I looked at her. I said, "This one looks young and other." So I was talking to her and she could speak English. I said, correct. You are going to be my friend. So I told her, "I just love you and other." The long and the short of it is I started sharing and she shared with me. The Lord said I should ask after her family. And I said, "How are you doing? We are coming here for the first time. How about your family?" And she just hissed. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And she started telling me how her husband has maltreated her and all that and all that. And I told her, "Don't worry. I know where I will take you, where everything is going to be all right. So tell us, how do we go out?" So we went to the market. Mrs. Okafo, myself, was the woman we thought. She sent somebody. We went to the market anyway. And in the market, we were ministering to them. We were telling them that we are having a meeting. Women, they should come. And all that. And indeed, at the end of the day, it was so surprising. Because the hall was full. Where we thought nobody, the hall was full. They said the only church that was there had been attacked. And the pastors were discouraged and all that. The hall was full. And souls were won to the Lord. Exploits by grace. We didn't have anything. We didn't have any power. But grace is ahead of us. Exploit by grace. My second example is about the covenant women. I can't remember exactly which year now. But we went to Awe for a retreat. Grace by grace. Grace for exploit. We went for a retreat. We didn't know. We had prayed. So we told the pastor in Awe, "We are coming. Oh, help for an accommodation. Help for an yard." They helped us to do everything. And that particular, and we had prayed, and God told us that we should go open heaven. So we were 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 so happy. You know how you spiritualize everything. We were too sure that God was talking that great things will happen. The player accommodation they gave us. We were quite a number. We were already over 400. We were in our rooms, but there was no light. You were there. There was no light. And I started saying, "God, you said you will give up." God said, "Tell all the women to go out. Tell them to get out and go downstairs." So everybody, we all came down. And there were some people started, "Hey, we did this we know them all. These people are this, they are that." And we went downstairs. And God said, "Start praising me." And we just started praising God. We were praising and praising God. In the open, big hotel, but outside they have a big field. And we were just praising God. And we were praising God. And after some time, and that was how the night went. But let me tell you the great thing God did. We did not know. Some of our women were still coming into our way up till 11 p.m. in the night. We didn't know. Because people were coming from Lagos, they were coming from Oshogbo, they were coming and they came late. We did not know. Ashe, that day was the Oro day. When they said no woman should go, and they had announced round the whole place, say, the Oro will come out, so if Oro should see any woman, he will carry you away. And not, we did not know. The pastor said he did not know how he will tell us that Oro. But he was asking that we should just come early, and we said yes. But you know what? We are not together. Everybody has to come from his house. Our women were walking until 11 p.m. and there was no Oro that carried them. That is a great exploit. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you, they said the Oro dressed up to go out. Because later we got to know. They said they got ready to go out and go around, and then they reversed back and say, there is a power around in aware at that time that they cannot go. They said they tried a second time, a third time, then they canceled it. Why? Because the children of God we are praising. Exploits by grace. And then finally, when we went to that hour, for I think it was Liberty, and they were asking us that make sure you win souls and all. And I said to God, I said, God, the soul that I want, because everybody was so scared of a particular Baba. They said the Baba is the head of Oro, he's the head of Egungun, he's the head of whatever, three or four, and the man will sit down, very comfortable, and then he put all those things on his table. And I said, God, just give me the soul of that Baba. Give me the soul of, to the glory of God. As we were entering our way, my husband was there. Brother Emmanuel Igetu was in the car with us. He was the only one we picked to go. As we were entering our way, I said, let's go to that Baba's house. Let's go to that. And they said, let's get to church first. Before I said, let's go to that. And we went to when the Baba saw us, of course, you know, you will be scared because all sorts of things, black, white, shells also. And we said, Baba, we have come to greet you. Let me just cut it short because of time. Baba gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He attended New Covenant Church. 2 years after, he died. So God is still in the business of doing exploits in the kingdom of God. Finally, I'm looking at time. I have so much to say because grace excites me. The grace of God is endowment. When God decides that I want to do something great for somebody, he will just say, what should I? He will just, how come grace? How come pick grace? Mudash any grace. And people will be saying, how are you doing it? Finally, let me just round up. I'm praying that in conclusion, the greatest exploit is the populating the kingdom of darkness and translating men into the kingdom of light. But let me tell you, many of us who are so religious Christians, we believe that the only place you can do exploit is when you go for evangelism. That is not true. There are 7 gates of engagement. And in your place of work, you can do exploits. What instead did is an exploit in our place of work. The 7 gates of engagement, we have the arts and entertainment. In the entertainment industry, you can be different. I have seen people who have come to me because I'm into event management that we have been watching you. One pharmacy said, this is the first time I will see a Christian. We didn't know he was watching us. Arts and entertainment. We have business and finance. We have church and religion. We have distribution and media. We have Sean, you have foundation, you have family and community, you have government. We want people in all this position of authority. We must occupy the gates. It's not only in church. If you are a nation, president of a nation, you can write, lead the nation aright. In your place of where God do exploits, you can do exploits. In the building, we know that offices, let people know that I'm sick. A daughter is dying of convulsion. You carry her to that mommy up there. Mommy that is always there and pray for her. You can do exploits. God has made it so easy for us in our places of work. The way we talk this afternoon, I was talking to a consultant and decided to give her a gift. And she said, no, mommy, no, I don't want to. I was really impressed. She said, because all the medical I've been teaching them that get gifts from patients when they come. You don't have to look at. He said, so I've said that. I mean, I was impressed. I was really, really impressed. I told her that, no, this is different. I just decided to give you from, the Lord said I should give you. And she received it. So where we walk, what do people say about us? And I don't have time. I want to tell you about people who misuse the grace of Esau was born into a home that God said the twins are inside the mother's belly. And God said they are great nations. But because of a muzzle, he missed it. You know, people who Bible is careless. Bible is told you know, so Jarejo, Fatijo, Tatin Banker. People who are as if it does not matter, as if things do not matter. People say, me will pray, let me jump. Because you can't let me. You know? And she can say, God is careless. What you are careless. What is birthright? God, give me, I'm hungry. Also, Robert, birthright, call birthright. It has been stamped in the heavenlies. Careless life. Careless people. You know, it's people who will go into sin. I will go into sin. Well, I will go and beg God. God is merciful. Maybe we have said God can go for just go last. I'll just go back to God and say, God, forgive me of that sin. And sometimes you can go and never come back. The Bible said Esau begged, but it was not given to him. We also have Saul. He was not in the king's family. He was a Benjamite of the least nation in Israel. He didn't have anything, but he was tall. The only thing he had was he was tall. Sheyelafe Jenny. He was tall. And then the grace of God was available to him to be the first king to rule and to follow the dictates of God. But he decided to disobey God. He missed the will of God. He missed the grace of God. He misused the grace of God. Paul said, I will not misuse the grace of God. What about the sons of Eli? What about Eli and the sons? Priesthood that God has prepared a destiny for them. They don't need to do anything, but they misused it. Because, some of us, sometimes you find children that their parents, you treat them as if they are eggs. Meanwhile, God has just given you those children to take care for some time. They make their children misbehave grossly. Eli was saying, hey, I'm warning you. What kind of thing? I'm warning you. You, these children, you are misbehaving. You know, there are parents who do that. They say, if you go, and children are smart. Adults, even teenagers, they are smart. They know you. They say, she's not your mommy. The father must have said, you, these children. The Bible said, the sons of Eli did not know God. Do you know God? Samson was the same thing. An angel came to tell his parents we are barren. Samson, the grace of God in his life was misused. The Bible says anywhere he went, he was always seeing women. He was always seeing a prostitute. Until Delilah dealt with him. People who misused the grace of God. This evening, I want us to be on our feet. I want you to pray. Lord, I will not misuse your grace. You have grace in this place. We have great grace. You can advance in grace. You can continue in grace, and you can develop grace, and you can ask God for more, so that you walk in His will. Please pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Lord, I'm asking for every member of this church, those who are here, those who are watching us online, wherever they may be, those who are outside of Nigeria, wherever you may be, the grace of God, let the grace of God envelope you. I'm praying that the grace of God will envelope you. I'm praying that the grace of God will be made manifest in your life today. I'm praying that the grace of God will speak. It will speak for your life. Please begin to pray. Pray for yourself. Finally, we have designed a form. And on that form, we have opportunity again. The grace of God is being made manifest. Another opportunity. There are so many departments in this church. Are you functioning? You want God to do something for you. What are you doing for God? Is it only give me. Ah, God, my children's school fees. God, give us a house. God, give us a car. God, make me comfortable. Is it only give me? The grace of God has appeared unto you. Again today, there are several committees there. I want us to fill the form. You can pick two or three committees. There are several. You can read it out. I can tell you there is a prayer, there is evangelism, there is ushering, there is welfare, BBC, there, we need teachers in the children and teenage church. There is which committee again? We have the covenant marshal. There's the welcome. The welcome thing is a new thing in our church. Young people, teenagers coming early to church, praying and serving God, holding cards and saying welcome. Not only when they come in, even when people are going back home, you stay there to say, God bless you, have a great week ahead. Welcome. What are you doing for God? And then on the other side of the form, we have my prayer request. When you have done something for God, then you try Him. Try the Lord. Put your prayer request. And on that form, I said, by the end of this year, that is between 2020 and 2021, you will see that even if you write 10 prayer requests, when you are serving God, there is the sanctuary cleaners. You know, some of us women, we are so dirty, we are careful. There are things we can do. There are people who are in the decoration. There are people who clean. There are people who are in the worship. There are people who are in the media. We need people in the media. We need you to come up with new ideas. We need you to do things great for the Lord. It's not like the old century. Please pray to the Lord. And the Lord will answer our prayers in Jesus' name. I'll pray only one prayer for us. Father, whatever be the heart desires of your children, as a church, as a family, this evening, Baba, let the grace of God, let it envelope it and let it deliver it to them in the name of Jesus. I pray for all the men in this church, what they need to be men indeed. Let the grace of God deliver it to them in Jesus' name. They will not stress. They will not labor. They will be heard indeed in Jesus' name. I pray for the women, the girls, the women, the children in this church. And I say that the grace of God will avail much more for us in the name of Jesus. What we need to be mothers in this, God will give to us. We will not lack any good thing. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every woman, take your congratulations. Take your congratulations. Before the end of this year, take your bundle of joy. Let there be rejoicing forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. I want you to say the grace to somebody. And I don't want you to say it carelessly. Now you have understanding. Now you know. Now let's say it out loud. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Then surely, Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.